The Catholic Church in Lesotho is this year celebrating 150 years since the arrival of the first Catholic missionaries from the French branch of the Missionary Oblates of Mary Immaculate. The small African kingdom is a landlocked enclave completely surrounded by its neighbor, South Africa. The French missionaries were soon followed by Canadian Oblate priests and brothers. The president of the Lesotho Episcopal Conference, Archbishop of Maseru, Gerard Tlali Lerotholi, said the Jubilee will stress the importance of maintaining and building upon what the original missionaries achieved.
What I'm bringing to this synod is happy news, joy from Lesotho that this synod here coincides with the 150th Jubilee of the existence of the Catholic Church in Lesotho. Lesotho was first evangelized by the French missionaries, Oblates of Mary Immaculate, from France back in 1862. And in 1930, there was also a group of other missionaries that came from Canada. They were French Canadians too, but still the Oblates of Mary Immaculate. So all in all, Lesotho has become, you would say, even a territory for the Oblates of Mary Immaculate. So this year is such a big occasion for celebration for the Church of Lesotho in rejoicing for what the Lord has done for it with this jubilee. So as I say, it coincides with the synod. It also coincides with the year of faith. So the Church of Lesotho has programs to prepare ourselves to renew our faith, and we have used as a slogan, as a motto for our jubilee, James chapter 2, verse 17, the question of faith without works is dead. That's the quotation from 2 James chapter 17. The reason why we embarked on that, we're also anticipating the year of faith. So the year of faith is going to help us even to go even further than just celebrating our jubilee for this year, to go into yet the next year, the year of faith. The Church of Lesotho, again, one would say is a young church, but it's a church that was missionary, that is becoming also a sending church. We are glad to announce that's a church. We've been able to send some of our men to countries where we used to receive missionaries. Canada is one of them. France, Haiti. On the continent of Africa, I would be happy to mention our only neighbor, South Africa. There's quite a number of our people working in different dioceses within the Republic of South Africa. Namibia would be one of them. Botswana has become our main, you know, territory for sending our missionaries. So one would say, yes, a young church, but a church that also understands that it hasn't only received, but it's also a church that sent out missionaries. So that's the state of the church in Lesotho. So to this synod, I'm bringing this good news because the synod is all about mission, because new evangelization is about rethinking mission, new ways of conceiving mission, not only in terms of conceptually, but also new ways of doing mission. So we bring our own contribution. What have we done ever since we evangelized, 1862 until 2012? This is the experience that I'm bringing here. At the same time, I'm also going to learn from the church from other parts of the world how they have done their own evangelization, how they evaluate themselves. And what I've learned so far is, indeed, even though you can see that in reading the Instrumentum Laboris, the tone is that the focus is mainly on the crisis of faith in Western Europe. I'm happy that there is other churches, Asia, parts of Africa, even the South America, Latin America, that's bringing something fresh, something hopeful to this synod to say, listen, the crisis that Western Europe might be undergoing is not for the whole church. It's just part of the church. But of course, the important thing about being at the synod is the experience of that collegiality. And I would want to emphasize part of collegiality which maybe is often overlooked. I always see there are two aspects of our collegiality, bishops meeting together. Is the effective collegiality where clearly with the presence of the Holy Father, we manifest, we make visible that unity that exists within the church. But there's also the affective one, which is also important. This is now the question of the person-person rapport or relationship, where we discuss one-to-one or even two-to-two, sharing even informally on the situations of our churches and how we are doing. This, for me, has been a good learning process. I was also able to share with other members of other churches, leaders of other churches, share with other bishops. And the, another interesting aspect of the synod is the ecumenical aspect too. We've had very interesting talks from the head of the Church of England, from African Methodist Episcopal Confederation, from other bodies, also the patriarchs of the Catholic Church. So the whole idea of a feeling with the church, that ecclesial sentiment, that's who you are, member of these, indeed a Catholic church, this is a unique experience. I don't think I could go anywhere in the world, I don't think I would experience what I've experienced here. So this, I would say, what I'm bringing, but at the same time, what I'm getting from the synod.
Yes, Your Grace, you mentioned about the 150 years of the Catholic faith in Lesotho. One would naturally take it that there have been challenges to that the church in Lesotho has undergone. How has the church been able to respond to these challenges that it encountered during this period of 150 years?
The period of evangelization in Lesotho, allow me to say, I could divide it into three main eras. The era of the French, the pioneer or the foundation period. The challenge here clearly was that of initial evangelization. And one would immediately think of cultural challenges. The Catholic Church comes to a country which had been predominantly for 30 years been a Protestant country. These Protestants were also from France. And meeting the Catholics there, that was the first challenge. The working together between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church. But from a cultural point of view, you are dealing with a society that believed in things like, you know, the question of the ancestral venerage, worship, the question of polygamy was still very alive as a practice. But the Catholic faith has managed so far. We started out as a very small church, but in terms of numbers and people who are still joining the Catholic Church, even from these other churches, it's just unbelievable every year. Another challenge we are facing is that we need to be self-supporting church. And now that we have started out even sending out our own missionaries to other parts of the world, they need our support. Not only, of course, we pray for them, but they also financial support from us, as they need also emotional support from us. These, we are still on a way in achieving. We haven't achieved this. Again, I was saying that would be, I've only talked about the pioneer time of missionaries. But then the second group of missionaries that came from North America, from Canada, these French-Canadian hombres, when they came, what they put up there was now what one sees as the physical infrastructure. They put up churches, schools, even the first university, the Catholic University in that part of Southern Africa was in Lesotho, known as Pius XII Catholic University College. It has now turned into National University of Lesotho. We are very proud of that work done. But the challenge now with us, the locals, is how do we keep those institutions going? How do we keep those schools that are built going? How do we maintain, for instance, even the physical infrastructure that's there in shape that can be used even by generations to come? How do we, for instance, in the health sector, how do we make sure that we do not let those facilities, like hospitals, clinics, deteriorate, but instead we are moving forward? So these are some of the challenges that we are facing. Another challenge is in training, forming our own personnel, formation, be it for the priesthood or even for religious life. We still there need, I think, a lot of support that our institutions, we get trained personnel, very professional, to help our own people to advance in these areas. Because as a living church, as a church that clearly shows that vitality, we need to make sure that now that we talk of evangelization, that people we send out, that are people who are convinced of faith, there are people who could go out there as true witnesses of the gospel. And for this, we need good formators.
Your Grace, just as you are talking, one thing that comes into my mind is we are already approaching Mission Sunday on Sunday to be Mission Sunday. And
right.
One of the things you have highlighted is the church in Lesotho sending out missionaries. Would you like to highlight, amplify this call to which was made initially by Pope the Sixth, Africans be missionaries to yourself, and as you elaborated the countries that your missionaries are going to, but maybe could you reiterate the core of the need for more missionaries and in the light of the celebration of Mission Sunday?
The Mission Sunday that's coming up, I will be missing it. As a matter of fact, in my archdiocese, there's been organized, you might even say, like a launching of a missionary Sunday where people are being conscientized for the need of being indeed missionaries. So the call that I'm making is, I would want to go further. I think the call that Paul VI made was further, I think, commended and further interpreted by the Blessed John Paul II, when he said, when those words, you Africans become missionary to yourself, it also means, in Ecclesian Africa, that's what he said, it also means you are missionaries to the whole world. So my call is, I would want to see that missionary zeal amongst our people, that indeed the time, I think, has come. We have been receiving a lot. The time is now that we also give. And in the words, I think, of the Blessed John Paul II, if I remember well, he said, please let's understand this. There's no community, no church, which is too poor to give, nor is there any Christian community which is too rich to receive from another. With these words, I was saying, I don't think it's fair for any Christian community, any church, local church, to lament that he has nothing to give. Because I think the new evangelism says we've got to change. It introduces a new paradigm in thinking mission. It says that dichotomy of the sending and receiving, the time has passed for that. Now let's talk about exchanging of energies. Let's talk about the global evangelization that we are engaged in. So that would be my call, really, for what Paul VI said for us as an African church. Africa, be missionaries to ourselves. And the Blessed John Paul II said, that means we've got to go out there to the world. And, of course, in the spirit of Acts 1:8, when it says, you are going to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth.
Finally, Bishop, Pope Benedict the 16th keeps on referring to Africa as a continent of hope. and Africa as the lungs of the spiritual lungs of the world. And I think this is a challenge that he puts to the church in Africa. What would you comment in your response to this challenge that the Holy Father keeps on directing to the church in Africa?
I will say, whenever I got a positive remark, I get encouraged. Much more when you get a positive remark like that from the Holy Father, it's encouraging. Because the world outside the Catholic Church, the media, all you get is mostly negative news on the continent. But if you hear a man of God, you hear the Holy Father saying, Africa, the cradle of humanity, is the hope for the church, is that living lung for the church, I feel like we need, as Africans, to do more than we're doing. And as Africans, we need even to be not only vocal, I would say, in the light of this synod on new evangelization, to be more witnessing than we've been. Meaning what? Let the borders of our dioceses, let the borders of our countries be not an impediment, because the message is out there. Let's go and tell the people the good news. But we're not going to tell good news unless we have the good news. So whenever those words, I wish they could be repeated in very traumatic situations in Africa where there's conflict, where there's tension, I wish those words could be reiterated. Africa, arise. Africa, wake up. Africa, walk. Africa, you are the future of the world. I mean, for me, these are very encouraging words from the Holy Father. For the church, where some of members of this church, maybe they still feel Africa still needs a lot of help in terms of mission from outside. Yes, but the hope is Africa is truly being recognized as a church. And this is very important, I think. And the recognition that, of course, when we get a recognition that from a figure like our Holy Father, I have no words to express my joy for those encouraging words.
Is there anything you would like to say concerning the Synod or concerning Mission Sunday, the church in Lesotho?
No, I would want to say we are very joyful as the church in Lesotho, and we have to express our joy for what we are doing. We realize that the Jubilee celebration is a time for us to take stock of who we are first, and what activities we've been involved in, and to see whether we've been really faithful to the mission for which we're meant. And we have identified, we also describe our Jubilee celebration in about five words. And these five words are, as a church, for this year, we want to remember where we're coming from, lest we forget. We know there was a time when we were not there as a church in that part of the world. And we know how the Lord has been good to us up till so far. But we do not only want to look at the past, but we also want to thank the Lord for being with us as a church until now. A lot of things have happened. A lot of good men and women have sacrificed their lives for the advancement of the gospel in that part of the world. The third one that I've used, we feel the Lord has been so good to us, we need to celebrate. This calls for a celebration. 150 years is a long span of time in the field of evangelization. And fourthly, we also want to say, what is it that we have learned throughout these years as a church? So it's a moment of renewal. The word that we use, renewal, let's renew ourselves in the spirit of the gospel, in the spirit of the founding, the pioneer missionaries. And lastly, of course, we are forward-looking. We're also forward-looking. We say, let's plan for the future. So the moment like this is with the wisdom that one is gathering from this synod, with the sharing that I get from my brother bishops and other members of this synod, one would go home and say with the church there, how do we plan therefore for the future? So these would be my few words as far as we are concerned as a church celebrating 150 years of anniversary. But the synod too, I say, is always an important moment in the life of the Catholic Church. Catholic Church is not an idea, it's a reality. So when one experiences that reality, the visibility of the unity of the Church with the success of Peter in our midst, there's nothing else one could wish for other than to see the Catholic Church strongly believe in the mission that has been given and remain faithful to it. That would be my few words.
Finally, is there a date that has been set for the celebration of these 150 years?
The date is already set, and the invitation here, we've been extending our invitation here. We're very happy to hear, to know that the Holy See has even responded to our invitation. It's going to be November. We are going to have 3 full days of celebration, starting on the 9th of November, which is next month, 9th, 10th, 11th. And each day has a special theme in line of what we are celebrating. We have the 9th, which is going to be on a Friday, is dedicated mainly for the young people. There's going to be a pilgrimage from the Pro Cathedral in Roma. We are going to be moving to the city Maseru, the present cathedral, taking into our hands the relics of our blessed Joseph Girard. We are happy to announce that we are so honored as a church in 1988 by the blessed John Paul I when he beatified one of his missionaries, blessed Joseph Girard. And it's going to be a reminder, especially for the young people, to say, now let's take the spirit of the blessed Joseph Girard forward. Come Saturday. Saturday is going to be, there will be definitely the huge mass where we're expecting all our dignitaries to be there. This is going to be the day when now we share with the rest of the world as a church, and we are also invited, of course, the civil authorities. What did they say the Catholic Church has done for that part of the world? Come, therefore, Sunday the 11th. That Sunday is going to be a huge Thanksgiving Mass, but at the same time, it's going to be quite a good occasion for us as a conference. Now to say, now that the Holy Father has announced the year of faith, for us, it's going to be, we are closing the celebration for the Jubilee, but yet opening the year of faith. So this is the program that we have for that celebration.